There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. I just want to thank everybody that was just out and a part of the Queen Mary event with Tim and I. Timmy, wow, that was a hell of a time.
It was.
We had a great, great event out there. We were able to raise $13,000 that went to Shriners Children's Hospitals to help with three different programs. $13,000 because of the love and the care that the listeners and fans of the paranormal were able to bring to the event. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and from Shriners for the excellent work you guys did. We auctioned off some amazing pieces, and wait till you see what we got coming for the next auction at the Queen Mary. That's right, we're going to be back at the Queen Mary February 24th through the 27th, and I knew I promised I'd have that website up and running for you guys. Unfortunately, I was tied up and left out in California. Tim tied me up and left me in a closet.
I did.
No, wait, I was out there, but I had business
now
to do.
He's out of the closet.
That's right, I'm not. Wait a minute. I'm not out of the... Well, I'm... Shut up. Anyway, I am going to put all that stuff up by tomorrow night, so you should have it back there. We're going to have Jason Grant, Chris Fleming. Patrick Burns is temporarily slated to be on there. We believe he should be able to join us. However, he is going back to filming his new show. Haunting Evidence will be filming 4 one-hour specials for this next year for the new True TV network, which used to be Court TV. Excuse me, that'll be flipping over after the first of the year, so there's a chance Patrick may not be joining us, but we do have some great other entertainers. And something new I want to mention, for those of you that stayed, we had a great comedy show by Dean Haglund. It was just a hysterical 1 hour improv comedy show that Dean Haglund did with the audience members, and we are going to do the same show this time at the Queen Mary, but we're doing it the first night after the meet and greet and autograph session. And joining Mr. Dean Haglund on the stage will be Mr. Grant Wilson.
Really?
Mr. Jason Hawes and Mr. Chris Fleming.
You're kidding.
No.
How did you manage that?
Well, two of them know about it. One of them doesn't. So we're going to have them up on stage, and this way we can get the entire crowd there to have what I think will be one of the highlights of the event for people. They're going to love it. But, man, I got to tell you, the crazy evidence that we got this time on board the Queen Mary, there were people, groups of people, large groups of people that heard Jackie call out on numerous occasions. Chris and Patrick are like magnets for these ghosts all of a sudden.
Well, they are kind of pretty.
Well, they are. Yeah. But Chris, you know, Chris is always pretty good at getting the stuff. But Patrick was getting amazing things down in the cargo hold. He got stuff in the engine room and helped cross a spirit over in the cargo hold using the K2 meter, one of the EMF detectors, not holding it. Everybody there witnessed this take place, and it was lighting up by itself, responding in yes or no terms. It was an amazing experience for everybody that witnessed it. Chris got the little girl to call out. As a matter of fact, I think there's quite a few people with it on EVP and video where while they're talking, I'll sit here, Mama! Mama, we're all crazy now. Oh,
yeah,
sorry. No,
that was good too.
No, but it was.
She sang it perfectly.
The baby called out Mama a couple times. EVPs by Mark and Debbie Constantino, who were great and joined us for the charity auction. They were supposed to give up an hour of their time, go to a haunted location with four of the guests, I should say. And I say listeners, none of these people have ever heard our show that show up to our event.
No.
So I got to clear that for the guests. Hopefully they're tuning in now. And those people came back blown away with the EVPs that they were able to get with them. We had just an amazing time with everybody and all of the celebrity guests on board the ship doing a bang-up job. Jay and Grant, as always. Chris and Patrick, thank you very much. Rosemary Ellen Guiley. John Zaffis. Again, John will be joining us aboard the Queen Mary in February. Dean Haglund. We've got just some great stuff lined up. Also joining us from the preliminary of what we've been told for the charity dinner, We're going to be joined by the lovely Miss Erin Gray. You remember her from Silver Spoons. You also remember her as Commander Wilma Daring from Buck Rogers.
And I remember her from a lot of dreams. Let me tell
you that.
Yes,
quite a few. Yeah. And she's gorgeous. She doesn't look like she aged a flipping year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jerk. She'll be there. We're going to be raising money for one of her causes, which is a battered woman shelter. And then it looks like, Tim, we're going to be joined by Miss Linda Blair.
She's not still possessed, is she?
No. Okay. Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
You know, we're going to wave water at her and tell her the power of Christ or Chris Fleming compels you, whichever works better.
Well, it does compel me sometimes.
Yes, it does. We're going to get her to come out and talk to us. She's going to help raise money. We're going to help raise money for her animal rescue that she has in California. So love to have all of you out there. We're going to be doing some fun work, doing some more charity stuff. You know, to date, Tim, we're close to almost $80,000 at Darkness Events and Taps Paranormal Retreats have helped to raise for charity.
Wow.
So, you know, and it's nothing on our shoulders. It's to the love and generosity of the groups. We have a lot of people that hit us up and they say, how do we know this money is going there? We always have a representative of the group that we're collecting the money for there on hand that stands there while we count the money and then turn them over a check for the amount.
I'm just glad my grandpa brought his fez this time.
That's
in order
right.
To,
no, don't even joke about that. We're going to be busted.
I'm kidding.
But, yeah, it was a great opportunity for a lot of people to help out. And we've got some other exciting stuff. And like I said, we've got this Palmer House event coming up in Minnesota. If you haven't seen it, look it up at darknessevents.com. It's going to be great. Chris and Patrick are going to be out there with that, and I think we're going to get a lot of really exciting stuff. There's over 20 ghosts in that place. But I mention all that because I want to mention something interesting. One of the most controversial pieces of equipment that we've had at any of our events is an item called the Frank's Box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to cough, so if you want to mute me. And I'm back. The Frank's Box was developed by Frank Sumption, and we're going to talk to Bill Murphy, who works along with Frank and is a friend of Frank's, and he's going to tell us a little bit about this. Bill, this is for a piece of equipment to maybe help us communicate with the other side or spirit or ethereal realm. This has gotten to be an amazingly controversial piece of equipment, and the drama that surrounds it is unreal right now. Are you surprised by what's going on?
A little bit, yeah. It seems like ITC work in the paranormal realm, just generally speaking, does have its share of controversy. But the events that follow Frank's Box and the researchers that use it seem like they're sort of fast and furious. There's a lot of things that are happening. Some of the controversy is things that we'd like to avoid. But with that being said, I think the serious researchers are getting valid results, and we're not going to be deterred.
Well, let me ask you. Let's get a quick rundown, Bill. What is a Frank's Box, and who is Frank Sumption?
Frank Sumption is sometimes we call him an engineer, but he says I'm not really an engineer. He's a technician, but basically he has engineered this device that was inspired by a software called EVP Maker. By Stefan Beyond, who was a German programmer. And Frank thought that he could create a real-time hardware device to perform the function that EVP Maker does. And what that software does is it's basically an audio recording environment where you perhaps will ask a phrase or make a statement, and then it would scramble and rearrange your phrase or whatever audio file that you load into it, and then it would play it back. And when you would play it back, you would hear messages. So he says, I know I can do this real time, and so I need a source for the raw audio. And for the raw audio, he used radio tuners. It originally had a random voltage generator, and it would just apply that random voltage to the tuner, making it jump to various frequencies, unable to lock on any. Skipping around, you would get audio fragments, and that would provide the raw audio. The surprise is that even though it seems to be jumping around, at least in the previous versions, the sound bite, if you will, the message, would sound like it's layered in front of or on top of the radio fragments. Later versions have moved somewhat away from the random voltage generator to a linear sweep. Some of them incorporate both. Whatever method works best for the researcher, they can use.
Now, Bill, Frank started creating this box, and he actually works with somebody on the other side, right? I mean, these... Well, I don't know what you want to call them. How are they telling him how to change the box and fix it? Who's helping him?
Well, the messages that come through are providing the guidance, mm-hmm. if you will, or the inspiration to change the box. So he'll get specific instructions. I don't think he uses the word instructions, but he'll get specific messages on creating differences in prototypes of the box. I think at this point, although he still uses it and still gets instructions from the box, his own intuition has kind of kicked in. So he operates and modifies by his own guidance.
But you've met the man. He has a very big passion for what he does.
I have met him. I mean, I've been a participant in his forums for several years. And so, you know, I was just really one of the early corresponders on his site. And I was just doing EVP research on my own, as well as video ITC research on my own. And I, not only just Frank's site, but other web forums that would investigate instrumental transcommunication, I've been participating in for quite some time. But Frank's box is intriguing. The sound files that were being posted are often compelling. Just like EVPs, you have to develop an ear for them. And if you listen to the postings, you may sometimes, if you're new to it, have a bit of a difficult time. But just like a piano player can sort of close his eyes and hear the melody and know where the keys are being struck, same thing with the Frank's box audio fragments. You can listen to them and you can actually hear the messages embedded with some of the audio sound that's coming through. So we started corresponding, and then it's actually going to your event, Dave, going to the Stanley Hotel. Prior to that, I made arrangements to meet with Frank, and so I did. I traveled to his home, went into his lab, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and looked at all the early prototypes, looked at the current prototypes, and then some of the ones that he was working on, and some of the other instruments that he has as part of his research. And I realized, wow, there's a lot more to it than just radio tuners and an assemblage of parts. Frank, he does have... He's never come out and really said this, but he does mm-hmm. have maybe some psychic abilities as well. And that appears to be an important component in the person who's operating the box. There's a link between the operator and the instrument.
What was his intent for getting these boxes out? I mean, he's charging, what, $15,000 a box, right? No. I mentioned that as a joke, yeah.
It really is funny. I mean, it's the complete opposite. Frank does not sell his boxes. He doesn't necessarily want anybody to make a donation. I think if you have parts and you make those parts available, that's a better way to collaborate with him. But he's not motivated by dollars. This is not a profitable venture. He's put a lot of his own resources. Actually, virtually everything he's done has been just with his own funding. And so, like many of us, he works, and then he's got what he does outside of work. This is what he does outside of work, and he's self-funded. And it's not inexpensive research, which anybody who participates in any paranormal research can tell you. The cost of equipment, it's ongoing, and one piece leads to another, and one acquisition requires yet another. So he's put a lot of his own resources into this, and all he asks for in return is that people that are involved in this research post their results, post their findings. And I guess we're all looking for validation, but once you have your own proof, you don't need to necessarily be proved by anybody else. But this type of research does involve a community as such. We compare our recordings. We compare the hardware that we're using. There are other people that have built prototypes based on Frank's designs. And everybody sort of brings something to the equation here.
Well, you know, when I mentioned the fact that he's not selling the boxes, he works very hard on them. There's a lot of passion and soul that he pours into creating them and then gives them away to people that, you know, he just wants to share the information with, right? The reason I bring that up is there's somebody else in the field that claims to have... He's being told that there's only 30 people that are allowed to work this box and should be allowed to use this. What is Frank's take on that? Do you know?
Well, I don't think he buys into that. I can never speak for Frank, but there's never been any indication that he buys that for one second. It's a silly statement to make, because this research has been ongoing for a number of years, and then prior to this is a number of other ITC researchers. And if anybody would say that there's a cap on the number of people that can participate, well, that person's short-sighted. But in the case of what we've seen with Frank's box, and even prior to Frank's box, you know, other ITC work, invariably there are people that come and try to commercialize this type of activity. And this isn't anything that could only hinder the research if you try to commercialize it too much. I mean, it's one thing to build a box for another person and get reimbursed for it, but it's another thing to put a cap on it and then become an authority on anything that is theoretical.
Well, theoretical, but it's also, you know, that would be like me taking the light bulb and saying that, you know, yeah, Thomas Edison created, but I'm the one that understands it and knows how it should be used. And, I mean, that's where a lot of this hubbub in the field is coming up right now, that there's all this drama going on. And now it's almost, you know, we're going to have on after the first break here, we're going to be having a young lady on the show who was taken advantage of by somebody that uses the Frank's box to communicate to the other side. Now, you know, like psychics and mediums, if you have questions and you want to try to communicate with your dead loved ones, you know, whatever, go for it. Talk to psychics, talk to mediums. The one thing I've always respected about psychics and mediums, the legitimate ones, is when it comes to a crime or missing children and family, when they step up, the mediums always seem to give very willingly and freely of their time to try to help in any way they can. And I was flabbergasted to hear the story we're going to hear after the top of the, after the next break, I should say. Bill, what's your take? And you know, I mean, is Frank aware of the story as well?
I believe he is. It's very unfortunate. Frank is very much turned off, as all of us are, very much turned off by not only the drama, but that by those that have motivations that are not consistent with this type of research. Greed, for example, is certainly not consistent with this type of research. I mean, we're all trying to learn from this. This is just the beginning of this particular genre of ITC work. There's a real foothold here. It does appear to be valid. Like many people in the scientific community, when I say scientific community, I like to qualify myself. I am not a scientist. I am not a physicist. You know, I'm a researcher like a lot of people in this realm, so I kind of want to establish that. But I have been doing it, and I have maybe a little more experience than somebody that's only been doing it for a year or so. I've been doing it for a number of years. As a matter of fact, I just posted today that, and I kind of forgot about this, Frank mentioned about, you know, other wavelengths that he wants to incorporate into the tuners. For example, you know, this short wave, this AM, this FM. And I had realized that as soon as he put this this post about perhaps using shortwave tuners, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, this is going back to the 70s, I used to take my father's shortwave radios, and I would just take the tuner, and I would just do a linear scan. And I was going in between the channels that were coming through, and I really didn't know what I was doing, so it's not like I had a particular goal, but I was trying to find broadcast fragments, I guess, because I wasn't staying on any channel, and I was speaking to these fragments. I didn't have a microphone, so it's not like I was able to transmit. I kind of felt like maybe I could communicate with the invisible that are always around us by speaking out loud, maybe having some sort of connection, but then getting my feedback through an untuned radio. So I guess I was doing some of this work as a child. Once I was a teenager, I kind of stopped doing it. We had about a dozen of these shortwave radio in my parents' mm-hmm. house, and so I'm kind of pleased that the the desire to continue with this research and the desire to continue to try different methods is something that Frank never tires of doing. It's not just radio fragments. Frank has also done other work with television reception, doing the same thing, a linear scan. He's come up with some fantastic images that can't be attributed to a broadcast snippet. You wouldn't necessarily get a one-frame image if you're doing a linear scan with a TV tuner. And he's gotten images that are very, very compelling.
Well, that's interesting, too, Bill. I know we've talked in the past. You know, I used to have that radio that would scan CB frequencies. And I think I've talked to you about that. When I was in my room, I used to have it on so I could listen. And once in a while, voices would come through there and talk to me. And it absolutely freaked me out. So, you know, like you, I kind of fell into it at an early age learning about this. That's why Frank's Box is, you know, kind of intrigued me with the possibilities of what could be done. And I do, before we go to break, I want to tell kind of a cute story before we go on. You know, John Zaffis, we love him to death. He's one of the best in the paranormal field, demonologist, just a kind heart, great guy. And we were doing an investigation, and we were using a Frank's Box down in the concert hall at the Stanley. And, you know, it's like you said, you got to start to train your ear to listen for the messages. And it was making all of its racket and noise. And John finally just looks at me and goes, "Well, dude, I've had enough. I can't take this. I'm an old man. I got to go to bed." And the tuner stops exactly and says, "Welcome to the Old Timers Club." Goes back into scanning. So we all had a great laugh. I mean, that, you know, that and a few other little things was what led me to believe that maybe there's something to this spiritual activity dealing with it on the other side. It was funny. It was a cute little, you know, dealing with the box as well.
Yeah, you can't always chalk up the timing of these messages and voice fragments to just chance. That people are getting some interactivity that would suggest otherwise. And for those that go down the road of debunking most of the paranormal researchers out there,
mm-hmm.
I ask those people to set aside their conventional way of thinking. Set aside science as you understand it, and then perhaps get your own Frank's Box. I mean, there's inexpensive alternatives out there right now. I mean, as you know, right. Dave, you and I sat at the table.
Right, well, let's hold off. We got to take a break. We'll talk about that after we come back from the break, and we're going to bring back Tracy, and we'll talk to her a little bit about her experience. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
And welcome back to the show. As I mentioned before the show, some of the things that you know, are being used with the Frank's Box have, you know, I don't know, it's kind of disturbing. This is, as Bill mentioned in the last segment, you know, this is still something that's new. It's
not really proven. I mean, you know, we know that some people are able to use it and hear things and make connection with the spirits on the other side with it. The lady that we're bringing on the line, we'll just call her Tracy for right now. I don't know if she wants me to give out any more information than that. Tracy, why don't you tell us a little bit about the story, and then maybe we can also, if there's any mediums in the group that are willing to help out psychics, maybe they can help you out with it as well. But can you give us a little background on why you went looking for help?
There was a little, well, back in 2002, there was a little boy named Logan. He was 6 years old, and his mother murdered him and hid his body, and it's never been found. And I had my son was the same age at that time, and I don't know, it just kind of, for some reason, kind of hit me hard. And over the years, I thought and thought about it, and after I started coming to, I came to the Stanley Hotel in March and met Dave, and that's when I was introduced to the box. And I didn't ask to, when I talked to the box when I was there, it didn't cross my mind to even ask about Logan, and I kicked myself later for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what drew me, you know, to the psychics and the box, because I thought if I could use the contacts that I met at these things that I went to, the paranormal conferences, mm-hmm. and things of that nature, I could
now
maybe
the psychics
find
that
to help me.
Right, the psychics that you've reached out to, are they charging you to try to help you with this?
No, none of them have, no.
So when you heard about the Frank's box and you heard about this, you wanted to give it a try. When you approached this gentleman with it, how did that go down? How did that happen?
Well, I had told a friend of mine that, you know, I should have asked the box to talk to Logan. I call it the box. And that I said, you know, I'm going to get in touch with the guy that had the box at the Stanley when we were there and see if I can talk to the box and see if I can talk to Logan. And that night I got a mass mailing email from this guy's assistant saying that, you know, the popularity of the box had been so great that he had decided to open it up and let people that wanted to use the box, you know, have sessions with it. And so I called and set up a session and had it the very next day, but there was a charge attached to it. And
how can you tell us what the charge was?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much it was for 15 minutes, but if you wanted a 30-minute session, it was $200. And if that was for one person to do the talking, and I had a couple other people that were
now,
with
what do you
me.
Mean by one person to do the talking?
Well, it was $200 if I wanted to be the only one to ask questions.
Okay.
Anybody else in the room that wanted to ask questions, it was an additional $50. So, yeah, so the first time I paid $250, and then a couple weeks later I got another email from them and set up another appointment, and that time I just paid the $200. And they asked me if I wanted to for them to record it and then clean it up, you know, with the audio cleaning up software,
right.
Whatever that is. And if I wanted them to do that, there was an additional charge of another $250 for the CD.
Unbelievable.
And so, yeah, so I chose just to set up my own tape recorder and just record it over the phone, because that's how we did it. They called us when they were ready, and we just asked questions like we had our speakerphone on.
Now, were you hearing anything when this was going on?
I heard a couple things, but it wasn't super clear. He said that it would be best, the way we were doing it, if he didn't put the microphone up to the box, if he just kind of interpreted it. But a couple times I could hear people say things.
Now, did you ever feel that you made contact with this missing boy?
Well, it's crazy because I believe that when I'm talking to the box, I am talking to people. And the first time that we talked to it, we heard a little kid say, hello, hello. And, you know, and our eyes just all filled with tears. And, you know, we just really felt like we did make contact with him. And there's a lot of stuff about it on the Internet. So I don't, you know, I just never was really, really sure, you know. He could have looked it up and, you know, just gave me some tidbits to make me think that I was talking to him. I don't know. one thing that bothered me when we were talking to it is we had asked to talk to the lead investigator that had passed away.
Right.
And they told me that he was still earthbound and that I couldn't talk to him at that point, but that they would try to make contact with him later and let me know if they made, you know, if I could talk to him. And that was the second time that I called and talked to the box. And, you know, I felt like I really was. I got down some good information, but yet we still haven't found a body, so I don't know. And as far as being taken advantage of, I did make the initial contact, and I did agree to pay for it, but no one else has charged me because of, you know, the nature of the situation. It's a little kid, and eventually I did. He contacted me a third time, and this time he did it by telephone and said that he was off his lecture circuit for a couple of days, and he had a lot of free time, and did I want to set up another one? And I thought that was kind of odd at the time. And I just told him that I couldn't afford to do it, you know, again, right at this time. And I sent him an email and just told him, you know, out of the goodness of his heart, if he could, you know, find the time to give me 30 minutes free to try to make one more contact, that I would appreciate it. And I didn't ever hear back from him. And then I talked to one of our mutual friends, and he was like, I just can't believe he charged you for that. And then I really started feeling uncomfortable about the whole thing.
Right. Well, I'm going to, you don't have to, but I will. I'm going to call. It's Chris Moon, Christopher Moon, who is the publisher of, I don't know, what's his magazine, Tim?
Haunted Times.
Yeah, Haunted Times magazine. You know, personally, I've got an issue with Chris because he came to our Stanley event on my invitation to promote his magazine in good faith, and went back and reported a full line of BS about the event and that people were using their boxes to try to contact demons and just a bunch of hoodoo voodoo crap. And then when I approached him on it along with others and said, you know, your report is inaccurate and this and that and the other, and it really needs to be fixed, he refused to fix it. And then to hear that he's doing things like this is just, to me, so deceitful and against, I think, what, you know, and again, not knowing Frank personally, but knowing kind of the vision of what he's doing, it seems to be so not what I would think the spirit world would want for this jackass to make money off of somebody's pain trying to locate a missing or dead child. So I do hope that people will be very careful with who they reach out to seek help. And you know, if you're reaching out, again, in families, if you're reaching out for help to talk to grandma, or you want to know where the safety deposit key is, and you know, you've got things like that, you know, then you kind of take it into your own hands. If you're reaching out to get help on something like this and somebody wants to charge you, I would definitely look. There are plenty of many more reputable sources out there that you can go to. And Tracy, I'm sorry that in your quest to try to find some closure on this, that, you know, you unfortunately stepped in and took a hit on this. That's really unfortunate that somebody saw the weakness, and not only did they do it to you once, they did it to you a second time and then tried to come back for a third round. And I hope that somebody I hope that somebody calls Chris Moon on this besides our show, and I hope that he is shut down from taking advantage of people that are in a situation. Yeah, Tim, you had a point.
And Tracy, we have gotten a communique from a psychic who's willing to do a remote viewing for you free of charge. And we'll give you that information off air.
Okay. I would like to say thank you to Bill Murphy and Frank. They did let me use their box. I don't know whose box exactly I was using for free a couple weeks ago, but I really did appreciate that.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. There's people to reach out for, and I hope that your hard lesson will be learned for other people to avoid that. And
me too,
Tracy.
Buyer beware.
Right. I'll if there's any mediums or psychics out there that think that they would like to give a hand in this, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I will pass it on. Just put in the subject line that you're a medium willing to help or psychic willing to help, and we will pass it on to Tracy so that she can get some resolve for the case. So, Tracy, we do wish you the best, and thank you for coming on the air to share your story.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, again, you know, it's the abuse of things. It's, you know, I kind of relate that to people charging to ghost hunt, or, you know, I mean, to, you know, you've got a ghost in your house and I'm going to charge you to come in and get rid of it or to investigate. Bill, I mean, what does a story like that do to your heart, you know, to hear that somebody's taking advantage of people to that level?
Oh, it was very distressing. It was picked up by Patrick Burns originally. So he approached me at the event, and I said, "Of course. I mean, I've got the box here. There's no guaranteed results, and also you don't know what's going to be coming through. You don't know if there'll be misdirection, but you know it's certainly available here." And so we made it available. It was actually a box owned by Randy Schneider that we ultimately used. It was a number of us that were present, and it was used in a way that was different from what I've seen. There were a number of sensitives that were seated around a table, and what was doing, they were asking questions, and instead of one person interpreting, it was group interpretation, and it was being done via notes. So people were just writing it down, and then we were comparing the notes afterwards, and that's a better way, in my opinion, to use it. Again, you have to use caution if you're going to take action on the information that you're receiving through the box, but it's certainly a refreshing alternative to what Tracy experienced. There was never any conversation that there'd be a charge or, you know, anything silly like that whatsoever. It was done out of the goodness of everybody's heart to participate and do everything the best we possibly could. And I do hope the information that was provided is useful for Tracy. It was actually it made us all. We tried not to be angry because you don't want to be into that mindset before you have any kind of a session, whether it's equipment based or you're recording EVPs or in this case a Frank's Box session. You want to be of a clear head and of a positive mind, and so we had to put past us the story that Tracy told us first. And then we were able to have a session. So I wish her luck in the results.
As do I, and I hope that people are a little bit more careful with who they reach out to. You know, again, you know, I had no ill will against Chris Moon. I you know, wish him luck and success in his tours and his ghost hunting groups and his classes. When you step over the line, though, and you start taking advantage of innocent people that are trying to get help to resolve criminal cases and missing children cases, I think you've got a real issue. And it doesn't just stop there. Now, there's some other drama going on in the circle that's kind of being perpetuated. Is that correct?
Yeah, and this is actually quite serious. What's happened, I mentioned before the first break that there has been some other choices of people that wish to involve themselves in radio IPC work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the developments is people modifying off-the-shelf radios, and schematics were posted on the internet, and a website was kind of was put on a lot of the bulletin boards so people could access the information, download the schematics. It's a pretty quick hack, and the box is dubbed the Shack Hack, and it's the radio that's been modified, and it performs similar to a linear scan Frank's box, very similar, and it's pretty clean. I still like my Frank's box. Ironically, it's almost developed a relationship with your equipment in this case, with my Frank's box, and most of the operators report that. But regardless, this new Shack Hack, it's a $25 box. You get some batteries. You're going to be out the door for $30, and you're going to spend half an hour to modify it, and it's working well. Well, the person who discovered this hack and then posted the schematics has received death threats, and his site has been taken down, and they've notified the authorities. I believe the FBI has been brought in. So it's no longer a joke. This is no longer just simple greed. It's now crossed yet another line, and it's got to stop. I mean, it's one thing to not have harmony between groups, and there's some of the territorial issues that occur, but when there's death threats to somebody posting something as a modification, and it only takes your time and then $25, and you've got a functioning box.
Do we know who's perpetuating these death threats? Do we know this for certain, who that is yet, or no?
Well, it's because the criminal investigation go on. It's impossible for somebody outside of law enforcement to speculate, and it would be irresponsible to even suggest who may be behind it, because it would seem like it's either maybe the most obviously whoever did this threat feels threatened themselves by this inexpensive technology, but that's not to suggest which corner this is coming from. Is it somebody that has a commercial interest in this, and this is sort of threatening their commercial interest, or is it somebody that's maybe a religious extremist and feeling that spirit communication is contrary to their belief system? Because you have those, you have all these camps kind of working against each other to a certain degree. So we can't really say who it is, but the part that is very troubling is that this person that posted the schematics is the person that's in my research circle. And, you know, we're connected via the internet, and we post our findings, you know, any new developments. And so this was a great development. This takes a lot of pressure off Frank, for example, because now instead of people requesting Frank for
building a box,
for example, because I mean, it takes over 3 weeks to build a single box, and everybody works here, so it takes some of the pressure off because now you can go buy one, you could modify it. So now to derail that is, you know, mean spirited would be the understatement of the year. It's a crime what they've done. You're threatening people with death via the internet, so it's very, very alarming, and it's one of the ugliest turns I've seen happen so far.
And again, we're not giving any names. We don't know who it is. We're not even trying to imply that we know who it is. And I say that because we did mention that there are other versions. I know there's now a $400 version of Frank's box that's been modified and is being made available for sale as well. Correct.
There is, and the...
And we're not implying it's them, we're not implying it's Chris Moon, we're not implying anybody else is involved. We just don't know at this point who's involved, but there are, you know, there are many different factions that it could be coming from because of the, you know, could it be hacking into the commercial aspect of somebody that's selling a box for $400? Could it be hacking into somebody's life that, you know, says that there's only 30 that are supposed to use the box? Could it be hacking into a religion who doesn't want us to be involved in this? You know, it's speculation, and again, I'm not trying to put the weight on anybody's shoulders by any means, but that's what makes it so disturbing, is that there are so many different venues on this. And I mean, how does Frank, you know, when you've spoken to him, you know, with all these different boxes, the one that's coming out for $400, his box, the Radio Shack hack box, how does that, you know, how does that affect Frank? Is he fine? It's not like he's trying to remain control and nobody else should make the box, right? He's okay with other people doing it.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it provided the relief. Now, Frank gives away his schematics. I mean, he's been posting them on the internet for a number of years. It's not a simple build, his schematics, because it's kind of doing everything from the ground up. You're not really starting off with an already finished radio. As I mentioned previously, I do favor my Frank's box over the Hack Shack box.
Right.
I like the sound of it. I get consistent messaging out of it. It is susceptible to some environmental noise sometimes. It's not necessarily get the shielding that... I actually don't know why it's susceptible to noise. That may even help part of the messages that come through. But I do get some very, very compelling messages through my original Frank's box.
I know it's interesting, though. You had modified one of the Radio Shack hack boxes for me, yeah, so that I could use it this weekend, and I was invited by the Ghost Sightings and the Paranormal Research Group of Southern California. Frank and Fran had invited me to a private ghost hunt that they had set up through Paramount Studios in California, just to kind of go hear some of the ghost stories that have been told there. You know, set up. We had a really interesting experience or two occur, and at one point I decided to turn on my little Radio Shack hack box, and still not knowing if I really buy into the whole Frank's box yet.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that struck me as very funny was I turned the box on, and it's scanning through the channels, and it's not really stopping on anything, and I just said out loud, I said, is there anybody here that would like to communicate or say hi? The radio station or the radio scanner stopped at 5 different spots saying hello to me in 2 different languages and in 5 different variations. It first stopped in hola, hi, hello there, hello, hi, how are you? And I just stood there with my jaw open.
Wow.
You know, was it? I mean, that's an amazing coincidence. Then there was a lot of static, and I said, why are you here? And the only other word that came out was trapped.
Mm-hmm.
and it came out that clearly between the static as it scanned through the pages. I turned off the box because I wanted to listen to the host that was walking us through Paramount and telling us the specific ghost stories that were known there. But again, my big thanks go out to Frank and Fran from Ghost Sightings and the Paranormal Research Group of Southern California for inviting me along. It's a great opportunity. I loved it. But using the hack box, I mean, that was definitely interesting. I wish I would have had more time to sit down with it and experiment. But, you know, it definitely was, you know, straight out of the chute. I got a couple of really interesting little things that seemed to be really strangely timed. You know, if you believe in synchronicity or the timing of it all, it was pretty impressive.
You know, and that's the thing about the boxes, all in all their forms. It's like the more you use it, it seems like after a while the operator becomes tied to the box or to the radio, and you get messages that are specific and they mean something to the person. And this type of phenomena is not unusual. It's very, very consistent going back to many, many years with people that were doing ITC work. When you look at the early spirit comp, people that are involved in it somehow become linked to either entities on either side, or, as Chris Fleming has said, your future self. I kind of like the way that sounds. I find it to be interesting that your future self would find a way to communicate with your present day self. So
right.
It's like, regardless, it could be intuition. I'm not sure if any of the listeners has seen The Golden Compass, which is a movie that's also a bit controversial because the original book was not necessarily in favor of organized religion, but
right. The
main character of the book, you know, uses a golden compass, which is in effect, it's a dowsing instrument. It is powered, but it takes an operator to, in this case, this young girl, to establish a link to the instrument to use it to get the truth to whatever it is she's trying to find out. If she's in the presence of another person and she doubts their sincerity, she can use the golden compass and get a read on them. And that's how a lot of these instruments work. A lot of ITC work works the same way. You're accessing information on a level that I think a lot of us don't yet understand, particularly, as I mentioned before the break, those that are committed to a science-based an explanation for everything here in this physical world. Myself was in that category at one time. I really needed science, I needed data, I needed to be able to repeat it. But after you're using something like Frank's Box for a while, and the proof just kind of, it keeps coming, kind of realize, okay, I have to let go of all these standard laws that I've been taught in school my whole life. There's other forces out there that are being harnessed.
Well, you know, Bill, with all the different communication items that are out there, why do you think, you know, that there's so much controversy over something as simple as this man's scanning box that he's created? I mean, there's been different forms of ITC that doesn't seem to cause this kind of war and battle that's going on. And so many hurt feelings and so many, you know, it feels like I stepped into the middle of an X-Files episode. So many people denying and claiming ownership and claiming title and things like that. It just seems really strange to me.
I think because of the results. I mean, simply because of the results that people are getting when they're using it. It's one thing just because it's an interesting piece of technology, and we are in you know, Western society, very techno-driven.
Right.
And so if you have a tool that you can use where you don't have to be quite as reliant on your own psychic sense, then that's a bit easier, and it's also easier for us to understand if it's got an on-off button. But that's not what is making Frank's box so interesting. I think what's making it interesting are the results that you're getting, the message that you're getting. You have to weigh them carefully because, again, you can't remain certain as to the source of these messages.
Well, you couldn't be more right. You know, the other thing that I really threw me for a loop, when we had the chance to meet with Chris Moon at the Stanley event, and he was doing his readings and told us the story of how there's the 30 or whatever number he selected, that he said that the technicians have told him only 30 people will really be allowed to use this box and will understand it and should be allowed to do this. What astounded me came next was that there was a medium there who will remain nameless who was monkey drunk and sloppy drunk, and he claimed this person to be one of the 30. And I thought, man, what are you thinking?
Yeah, really?
What kind of responsibility is this for you to say in front of a room of people that this person in this state could be considered one of the 30. You know, granted it was grandfathered in with, but they're not ready yet. Well, that's obvious. But, right. You know, the credibility of the box or the technicians that are telling him things severely went in a crapper for me the moment that occurred. And, you know, I mean, so much of this stuff, like EVPs, is left up to interpretation.
It is very subjective, but I think people innately know the truth. You get a bad feeling about a person, for example, and you tend to just stuff it if you don't want to believe the truth. You can want something so bad that you can just keep ignoring all the signs. I have made that same mistake myself.
Right.
And I wanted to believe something, and I ignored everything that, you know, the freight train coming at me, and I still ignored it. And then you pay the price. And it's you have to use your own gut when you're doing any sort of ITC or EVP work. And you have to be able to count on yourself, ultimately. Because if you're going to believe something that the box says, then you know it's true. It doesn't mean that there won't be attempts to deceive, but I think everybody knows what's right and what's wrong.
Bill, with all the research that you've done in the way of ITC, and all the research that you've done with the different equipment that's out there, and, you know, do you find that there is anything that you see is a little more... more reliable than others? I mean, do you think that just a regular digital audio recorder is a great way to just go about it? Do you think, you know, the turning your video camera at the TV screen on a non-channel and creating a loop is a better way to do it? I mean, what do you think? What are your thought process going on that?
That the second example that you gave, the video ITC with the feedback loop, it was actually some of the earliest ITC work that I started to do, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, I gave a presentation. Oh, you were actually at the presentation at the South Coast Conference at Glen Tavern.
Right, right.
And when I was creating the PowerPoint presentation for that, now I wanted to show people how to do the video loop feedback ITC method. And so I set up my camera, I plugged the video out into the line in on my TV, turned the TV, focused in on the TV. You almost see you focusing almost right behind the front of the screen, basically.
Right.
And I took another digital camera and I shot a picture of the viewfinder just so people could see the setup. I took a picture of the back TV, all the cabling, and of the viewfinder. And I did this all kind of in a hurry, but with the intention of, like, okay, let me do some video ITC and let me grab an image. And I know that the spirits have manifested before. They show themselves when you do this for some reason. I think part of the reason they show is because you're creating an intention, mm-hmm. and an environment for them to show. You have to kind of want it to work. And I did, but I didn't really look at my pictures. And then we created the PowerPoint presentation. I need to thank Beth Benestrom from, she was the founder of Planet Paranormal. Now PGHS owns Planet Paranormal. But Beth helped me put this together. And again, I didn't look at it. We were in a big rush, and I get out there, and I'm doing the presentation, and a couple people in the audience, when I showed that, I heard people murmur a bit, but I kept going in the presentation. It was only afterwards people come up and go, can you show me again that picture you took of the camera pointed at the TV? I said, oh, when I was showing you how to configure it? They go, no, the picture itself that you snapped at the LCD. Well, when I went back and I looked and showed the person, I was astounded. I mean, right there, you've got the image of a person coming through. And, you know, I'm very aware that matrixing is a phenomena,
right.
that we have to be careful of. But it's pretty clear. It's really clear. You can see images of a number of people coming right through the screen at you when it's tuned not only to not a channel, I'm defeating the tuner by plugging a video line into it.
Right.
And there they are. So that's how I got in to ITC, and that's when I realized, okay, people are doing this and they're recognizing these people sometimes. And I did that with earlier equipment. Now, going into today, to answer your question, what is the most compelling? Well, I have to answer it like this, and unfortunately it's got to be veiled in a little bit of secrecy because it's not my development, but there is yet another generation of ITC equipment that is going to be revealed in the near term. that a group of researchers have been working on, and it's pretty exciting. It's not audio. The audio side of it, such as Frank's box and EVP work in general, you yield really good results when there's a quick response to a question or a message that's relevant. But this new form of ITC that we're about to see become available, and again, it's not a commercial release. This is just something that they're going to release to the public so you can start making them. But it takes it yet to the next step. So I'll have to answer your question by saying we have not seen the best yet to come from instrumental transcommunication. It's on the horizon. We're on the right track. The development is going to continue, and hopefully it will allow the everyman and the everywoman to experience communication with the ethereals. Let's use that phrase.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it. I'm glad that you're able to stop in with us, shed a little light on this. I hope people are a little bit more reticent about who they throw their money at for these kind of communications, and are careful with what goes on. And there are a lot of reputable people, and I want to thank some of the people like Tuesday, Michael and Marty Perry, some of the other people that have come forward and offered to help with the case on the missing boy. And Bill, thank you as always. Appreciate having you on the show.
My pleasure.
Now, I do want to mention real quickly, just because I promised I'd do this, I had an opportunity again, Tim, to have a reading, and I took my mom to have a reading with Michael and Marty Perry on the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Not only was he able to connect with my grandfather, but he actually took on the mannerisms of my grandfather.
Really?
Blew my mom away, and then came through with an important message for me regarding a friend of mine that had been murdered, and the information was spot on. Very, very impressive. Everybody I came into contact with that dealt with him just loved him. So again, if you're interested in one of the, I think, most amazing groups of medium psychics that I've ever met, it's Michael and Marty Perry. You can check out their website. It's spiritart.com. That's spirit, then the word art.com. Check out the stuff that they're able to do. I promise you will not be disappointed. They're an amazing couple. Just phenomenal results that they're able to get. So check them out. And again, thank you to our guest, Bill Murphy. And make sure tomorrow night, Monday, December 10th, you check out A&E at 10 o'clock Eastern Time for the kickoff of the brand new paranormal show, Paranormal State, followed by another episode at 10:30 Eastern Time. So you check your local listings for those shows. We'll be back again next week. We've got an exciting show, Tim. One of the legends in the field is joining us.
Chris Fleming?
No.
Oh.
Dr. Hans Holzer is going to be on Darkness on the Edge of Town. And following it, second hour, we have Dr. Holzer's daughter, Alexandra, is going to be joining us, talking about her book, Growing Up Haunted. So we're going to discuss that with both of them next week. Make sure you tune in. We'll look forward to seeing you then.